Today's podcast is entitled Taking the Mark of the Beast and Still Going to Heaven. I know for many biblical Christians, the title of this podcast sounds absurd, but for some, it can actually be a serious question. So a couple of sort of preliminary questions first. Who or what is the beast? The term beast is used in Scripture as a reference to the 10-nation confederacy prophesied in Daniel 2:31-35 and elsewhere. More important to this discussion, the word beast is also used to describe the monster of Revelation 13:1-5 and Daniel 7:7-8, as well as Daniel 19:27. Most Christian theologians believe these verses are describing the Antichrist, also referenced in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and 4, and in 2 John 1:7, 1 John 2:18, and following. In the end times, he will first appear as a benevolent world leader in the first half of the tribulation. However, in the second half of his seven-year reign, his true evil nature and satanic powers will be revealed. The beast is an evil mimic of Jesus Christ, while the false prophet takes on the role of the Holy Spirit substitute and the dragon as the false surrogate for God the Father. So what's the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is intended to initially be a sign of voluntary loyalty toward the end of his reign. However, a sign of worship it will also be of this malicious and unholy Antichrist. Outlined in Revelation 13:11-15, the false prophet ultimately demands all of mankind take the mark, which is literally a stamp or seal or perhaps a subcutaneous RFID, a radio frequency device, applied to the forehead or the hand. As a way of control, no one will be able to buy or sell anything without documenting the transaction using their mark, shown in Revelation 13:17. So why is the mark of the beast so important? Loyalty and ultimately worship of the beast is evidenced by the taking of his mark is considered blasphemy toward God. Revelation 14 spells out the impact for those who choose to do so, specifically 14:9b through 11, which reads as follows: If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. But there will be those who resist, documented in Revelation 14:12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Going back to Revelation 14:9-11, above, most Christians have been taught and firmly believe that taking the mark of the beast will seal their fate for eternal punishment. However, if one looks carefully at the verses, there is the suggestion that to remain eternally outside of God's heavenly kingdom, we must actively reject the Lord in three individual ways. Specifically from verse 9, first, we must not, quote-unquote, worship the beast. Secondly, we must not worship, quote-unquote, its image. And third and finally, we must not receive a mark on either our forehead or our hand. Each of these hurdles toward an eternal torment are separated by the word, quote-unquote, and, rather than the word or, suggesting they must be done in conjunction with each other. Further, in researching 25 major translations, only the NLT uses or when referring to eternal damnation from taking the mark of the beast. In order to add credibility to this view, John MacArthur weighed in on the issue of the words and versus or in this passage as well. Trying to clarify the controversy some years later, Phil Johnson from MacArthur's church, a pastor from MacArthur's church, defended his view by saying, quote, "The point is that they could initially receive the mark, but not be worshipers of the beast. According to Matthew 12:30-32, there is only one sin that is unforgivable, and taking the mark of the beast is not listed. So clearly neither worship of the beast, his image, or taking of the mark are, nor would ever be, God's will. However, even in the relatively safe environment we live in today, our continuing sin nature falls far beyond his ideal. Certainly mankind should never test the Spirit, Acts 5:9, nor should we sin so that grace may increase, Romans 6:1. Neither do I recommend testing the word and versus or with my eternal future. However, it is important to study the Bible intently as we try to discern his perfect will for our lives, both today and as we approach an uncertain future. God bless you as you serve him today.